once again is Sunday Spectacular's original producer and host, John Salisbury. Good afternoon and welcome to Sunday Spectacular as we present comedy, conversation, and music with the irrepressible man who has tux and will travel, Mr. Bob Hope. And we open with one of Bob's most popular songs. In fact, it won an Academy Award, Buttons and Bows.
Western Ranch is just a branch of nowhere junction to me. Give me the city where living's pretty and the gals wear finery. Oh, east is east and west is west and the wrong one I have chose. Let's go where you keep on wearing those frills and flowers and buttons and bows. Rings and things and buttons and bows. Don't bury me in this prairie. Take me where the cement grows. Let's move down to some big town where they love a gal by the cut of her clothes. And you'll stand out in buttons and bows. I love you in buckskin or skirt that you homespun. But I love you longer, stronger, where your friends don't tote a gun. My bones denounce the buckboard bounce and the cactus hurts my toes. Let vamoose where gals keep using those silks and satins and linen that shows. And you're all mine in buttons and bows. Don't bury me in this here prairie. Take me where the cement rolls. Let's move down to that big town where they love a girl by the cut of her clothes. And you stand out in buttons and bows.
The wide open spaces don't suit me like a roof. I will love you long and strong and wear the stake ain't on the hook.
Well, that follows my bones denounce the buckboard bounce and that cactus hurts my soul. Let vamoose where gals keep using those silks and satins and linen that shows. And you're all mine in buttons and bows. And another thing. Give me eastern trimming where women are women in high silk holes and peekaboo clothes and French perfume that rocks the room and
buttons and bows. Buttons and bows. Buttons and bows. Buttons and bows.
Bob Hope is often referred to as Rapid Robert. This could be an allusion to his rapid-fire delivery of comedy lines or to his constant moving across the country and around the world. Our Sunday Spectacular microphone caught up with Rapid Robert in a typical spot, an airport, just before takeoff.
Bob Hope, welcome to Sunday Spectacular.
Thank you.
This is a salute to Bob Hope this afternoon. 55 minutes of nothing but hope. And it's nice to have you aboard to sort of chat with me as
Thank
we go
you.
Along,
Thank
playing
you.
Your records and various things. I'm not going back to the beginnings because I think most everybody knows that you started in Vaudeville.
Too gruesome.
You started in Vaudeville and... Then you were making pictures for a while, like The Cat and the Canary with Paulette Goddard.
Right.
Whatever happened to Paulette?
Well, Paulette's still around. She's doing things in Europe and, pictures in Europe, you know. That's playing different things. I understand she's going to do a Broadway play very soon.
Have you ever had any aspirations to do another Broadway show?
I know. I sure have, and I wish I had time, but I just... can't work it into my schedule with my television and everything.
I think one of the things that people are always curious about is where you find time to do all you do. You've written three or four books.
Five.
Yeah. Let's see
working
now.
Working on a sixth.
Porky, what's the sixth one going to be about?
Called You Belong to the Public.
And that's biographical,
yes,
autobiographical.
Anecdotes about celebrities in public.
Well, your latest book, I Owe Russia $1,200, is right at the top of the bestseller list,
that's
according
right.
to the New York Times.
That's right.
And where do you find time to work this in? I'm curious.
Well, I think I enjoy the business, and I enjoy meeting people and doing things, so naturally we can get around and see people, you know.
But when do you find time to actually sit down and write all this?
Well, there's an awful lot of hours in the day, you know, and I've been writing this book for 4 years.
Oh, I'll be darned. Well, I've read I Never Left Home, Have Tucks Will Travel, those are the other two.
Well, So This Is Peace.
So This Is Peace.
They Got Me Covered.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the other four outside of I Owe Russia $1,200.
Mm-hmm. Well, good luck on your next book, too.
Thank you.
I think you certainly will have it.
Leslie Towns Hope was born in Eltham, England on May 29, 1903, but moved to Cleveland, Ohio in 1907 and has been a loyal Ohioan, Hollywoodian, and American ever since. And how did Bob get into show business?
Well, actually, it was my idea because I figured I had very little chance of becoming king. And we moved to Cleveland, Ohio, and I did a lot of things. I worked at the Chandler Motor Car Company. I sold shoes. I worked for my brother, who was a butcher. I delivered, and I also worked behind the counter, weighed my thumb. My thumb weighs about 9,000 pounds. I started boxing. I thought under Rembrandt Hope I was on the canvas so much. Now, I don't know. My friend of mine, Packy West, a friend of mine thought of the name of Packy West. So for a gag, I decided to take Packy. And I got hit pretty hard my last bout. I bounced right into dancing school. And I kept dancing right into vaudeville. And I started doing Charlie Chaplin imitations in some of the contests around there and won a couple. And later on, I played with, 28 years later, I played with Paulette Goddard, who did her first picture away from Chaplin with me at the Paramount Studio, and then met Chaplin. And Charlie Chaplin looked at me and said, you know, I want to congratulate you on your comedy time. And I've never told this anywhere else. And I got a great, great thrill. It's one of the great thrills I got out of this business. Because here I used to do impersonations of it. And in those days, there were many, many tab shows. And a tab show was a miniature musical comedy. It was a 16-people show, a tabloid. And I did everything. I did straight, I did comedy, I did character parts, I sang, I played saxophone, just sort of in the form of a confession, this show, because very few people know that I was a saxophone player, and I could have put all saxophone out of business the way I played, just miserable saxophone player.
Bob Hope has appeared in dozens of pictures, several road epics with Bing Crosby, and many others in which he was the principal star. One of his best, filmed in 1955, was The Seven Little Foys, in which he played Eddie Foy, a famous vaudeville comedian of the early 1900s. Perhaps Hope brought understanding to the story of a performer and his seven children because he himself was one of six children. We hear him now from the picture, first as he tries to avoid marriage to the girl who eventually becomes Foy's wife. As Hope described it,
so Eddie met Madeline Mirando, a beautiful Italian ballerina. Eddie was on his toes before she was, but he fought it all the way. One night he chased after her in the rain, just to tell her how much he didn't need her or any other woman. And she said,
I'm sorry for you. You're so empty.
That's the way I like it. All I want is my name and lights. Broadway.
Nothing else?
What else is there?
The rest of the world.
What did they ever do for me? Did you ever hear that song Bert Williams sings? When life seems full of clouds and rain, and I am filled with naught but pain, who soothes my thumping, bumping brain? Nobody. When winter comes with snow and sleet, and me with hunger and cold feet, who says, here's two bits, go and eat?
Nobody?
Now you're getting the idea. I ain't ever done nothing to nobody.
buddy. I ain't ever got nothing from nobody, no time. And until I get something from somebody, sometimes I don't intend to do nothing for nobody, no time. And I try hard and scheme and plan to look as good as e'er I can. Who says, look at that handsome man?
Nobody.
Nobody. When all day long things go amiss, and I go home to find some bliss, who hands to me a glowing kiss?
Madeline's interest in him that he ran away, but it didn't do any good. When she went back to Italy, he followed her 7,000 miles to the La Scala Opera House, pretending he was just looking for talent for the Schuberts. But she told him she had a better offer.
There is a young man. We have to make marriage. The Schuberts can match that offer?
No, the Schuberts couldn't.
I'm sorry.
Well, arrivederci, whatever that means. I'll match the offer.
When?
Right away, before I regain my senses.
Then ask me.
Okay. Will you marry me?
You say it like you're ashamed. Say it so everyone can hear.
What for? They don't understand English.
This English every woman can understand.
What do you want, blood?
Si. I want you to say it loud, on the stage of La Scala in Milano, so I can remember for the rest of my life.
Should I sing Pagliacci for an encore?
If you wish.
Will you marry me?
Louder.
Will you marry me?
Why?
Why? How long does this go on?
Until you say you love me.
I love you. You want it louder?
No. I hope.
I hope the Schuberts appreciate what I'm doing for them.
Bob, I want to talk to you for a moment about show business. As it is today, now, you've been tremendously successful, certainly one of the most successful men in the world in show business.
Yeah.
It is not so easy for young people today to find their way as you have. I don't believe. I don't think they have the opportunities, perhaps.
No, but I still think there's a lot of opportunity around for young people. I don't think, of course, that they had the theaters that we had to play, because there were thousands and thousands of all types of theaters, all kinds of, variety shows. And today they have to do it in nightclubs and television, but there's still a lot of spots for people to start.
Do you think that being without the theaters gives them that live audience thing that they almost have?
Well, you can find it today. Yeah, you can find it in clubs and television.
Mm-hmm. Do you find that your work is easier today or harder than it was when you began?
Well, my work today is as hard as I want to make it. I make it pretty hard.
Do you,
I enjoy everything I do.
Well, now, how about Mrs. Hope, Dolores? Does she get kind of... Or is she by now used to your being away so much?
Well, I'm not away so much anymore, you know. I go away, you know, you might think I'm away, but I go away once a year for a 2 or 3 week stretch at Christmas time when we've been making these annual trips. And then a lot of times I take Dolores with me. I've taken her on a couple of those trips, and I just came back from New York. She was there, you know. And, you know, I think if a fellow 10 months out of the year. I think that's enough, don't you?
Well,
that's,
I think so. Yeah.
I mean, that's enough abuse for your wife.
But I think you give the impression that you're away so much.
Well, I travel a lot, Mm-hmm. And I don't. They're fast trips. I get around and. But I think in the last 25 years, I may have been home 20 out of that.
One other question I'd like to ask, Bob. What to you, now you're a comedian, people know you as a comedian, but what are the serious things that concern you in our world today?
Well, I think I have the same concern as any other citizen. I mean, as far as the world is concerned, I don't have any. There's no concern earmarked for me. I mean, I feel the same about our world conditions and our country as anybody else.
Did you find in Russia a rapport with the people that would give you a feeling that there is some way we can get together?
I was there in 58 at that time. We were one of the first shows in there, and these people were all looking over their shoulders. And they were kind of afraid to talk about anything, but I guess since then, I understand, they softened up and they're getting a better break.
Perhaps Bob's biggest boffs, the loudest and the longest laughs, came during his radio years when Tuesday night was Hope Night on NBC. The late Skinny Ennis and later Les Brown were musical regulars on the show. There were always guest stars, and on every program, the mustachioed Jerry Colonna, the somewhat mad professor.
Hello? Well, the stash himself, Professor Colonna. How are you?
One of Bob's radio guests was another comedian, and perhaps America's foremost violinist.
Now, as I was saying, please, hey Evelyn, stop with that magic violin. I resent that. Well, Jack Benny, ladies and gentlemen. Jack, what are you doing here?
Some surprise. We rehearsed 9 weeks already.
Bob, look, I heard about your leg and I thought I'd pay you a visit.
Well, that's swell of you, Jack, but how come you're sitting in with Les Brown's orchestra?
Well, just once I wanted to play in a band and not worry about the leader's breath taking the varnish off my violin.
And still another comic twosome, Bob Hope and Eddie Cantor.
You're an amazing guy. Honestly. You're in radio, pictures, you write books.
And I understand you only get 2 hours sleep a night. Now, on the level, Bob, for a man to write two wonderful books without a formal education is a great accomplishment.
Now, just a minute, Eddie. Don't go too far. There's only one thing that kept me from going to college.
What was that?
High school.
Well, it was only one thing that kept me from going to high school.
What was that?
Kindergarten.
Last year, as Bob Hope reached his 60th birthday, ailing Eddie Cantor made one of his now infrequent radio appearances to pay this tribute to him.
No one has more smilers behind him than Bob Hope. He's traveled to every part of the globe, bringing home to our servicemen. When Bob started off on one of his jaunts, someone said, "He's only taking three riders. For Hope, that's practically ad-libbing." Well, I challenge anyone to think as fast as Bob. Talking about golf, he said, "I'm not playing with Crosby anymore. Would you play with a guy who cheats, who picks up the ball and throws it toward the hole? Of course you wouldn't. And neither will Crosby. I am proud to be a member of the same profession where the top man is a guy like Bob. As long as he's around, there's hope for America."
And there was Jimmy Durante, with whom Hope had appeared on Broadway. Whenever the two exchanged guest appearances, one of the main gags was the nose. Skinos and Schnozola.
I became very conscious of the nose bit with Jimmy Durante when we played together in Red, Hot, and Blue here in New York at the Albert Theater. And I had much trouble seeing the audience and trying to get out from behind his nose. It was pretty tough. I was in that show, I think, for about 18 weeks before the audience ever saw me.
There were times when the nose routine led to a special song, as on the occasion of a Hope appearance on a Durante show.
Folks, this life is tough. We both suffer such abuses. Girls phoning day and night, I've run out of excuses. We're not bragging, we're complaining. And don't think this is treason. We know we're not good looking. Our proboscises are the reason. Who's got all the charm?
Durante and Hope.
Who's got all the personality?
Hope and Durante.
Who's got all the subtle fare?
Durante and Hope.
Who's got all the money?
Crosby.
Honest, this is not just a lot of noise. We wish there was something we could do for other boys. No wonder fellas in this town walk around with a great big frown.
They're jealous of the boys with the proboscis. They beg for dates with all the chicks, but we have to beat them off with six.
No one likes the boys with the proboscis. Our secret is variety. That's what we found.
My nose turns up.
And my nose turns down.
We got an awful problem. Every time we get too close, we lock bumpers.
You think this life would make us smile, but it gets boring after a while.
Blame us if we sit around and mope.
Now analyze our assets from our profile to our chassis.
I've got so much more than Gregory.
I've got so much more than Lucky.
So if you've got a sweetie and you plan to elope,
beware of the boys of the proboscis.
Jim, my nose has never been any handicap when it comes to girls. Why, in one night I once went out with 5 girls.
So what? In one night I once went out with 10 girls.
Well, on my dresser, I've got pictures of 20 beautiful girls.
On my dresser, I got pictures of 40 beautiful girls.
Uh-huh. Well, I've been proposed to by 50 girls.
But I've been proposed to by 100 girls. Well?
Oh, no, you don't. This time you go first.
So, if you've got a sweetie and you plan to elope, beware of the boys with the proboscis. Yes, sir. Beware of the boys with the proboscis.
1938, in a movie called The Big Broadcast of 1938, Bob and Shirley Ross sang, for the first time, the song which has become Bob's theme. Hundreds of special lyrics have been written to fit the many special occasions and broadcasts on which Bob has used it, but here is the original version with Bob and Shirley.
Thanks for the memory of sentimental verse. Nothing in my purse, and chuckles when the preacher says, for better or for worse, how lovely it was. Thanks for the memory of Schubert's serenade, little things of jade, and traffic jams and anagrams and bills we never paid. How lovely it was. We who could laugh over big things were parted by only a slight thing. I wonder if we did the right thing. Oh, well, that's life, I guess. I love you, Jeff. It's pretty. Thanks for the memory of faults that you forgave, rainbows on a wave, and stockings in the basin when a fellow needs a shave. Thank you so much. Thanks for the memory of tinkling temple bells, alma mater yells, and Cuban rum and towels from the very best hotel. Oh, how lovely it was. Thanks for the memory of cushions on the floor, hashed with Dinty Moore, that pair of gay pajamas that you bought and never wore.
Say, by the way, whatever became of those pajamas?
Huh?
Huh?
We said goodbye with a highball. Then I got as high as a steeple.
Did you?
But we were intelligent people. No tears, no fuss. Hooray for Strictly on for noon. Darling, how are you?
And how are all those little dreams that never did come true?
Awfully glad I met you. Cheerio, toodaloo. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Our Sunday Spectacular salute to Bob Hope continues now as Peggy Lee and Bing Crosby join Bob in a merry-go-runaround from the film Road to Ballet.
I love you, Bob. I love you, Bing. My poor heart's been a real wing-ding. Isn't love the craziest thing?
You won't say yes and you won't say no. You let my poor heart pound. Smile at me and around I go on a merry-go-run-around.
But see, what about that?
You build me up till the sky seems low, then pop, I hit the ground. Thus you hold my hand and around I go on the merry-go-run-around.
But Bob, what about me?
When a friend says to me,
where did you find a friend?
Well, where the heck are you bound?
I could suggest that you play you with
the what the deuce can you say? Just around and around.
I won't say leave and I won't say what. You gotta get yourselves unwound.
But you kiss us once and around we go on the merry-go-round.
My heart is singing, here's what it's singing. I love you, Bob. I love you, Bing.
Thank you.
hit the ground.
Baby, let's hold hands and around we'll go on the merry-go-run around. Until my friend runs away,
I just ambled on.
And with the girl that I found.
Now, wait a minute. What the deuce could I say?
'Cause we're all going round and around. You won't say leave and you won't say go. I've tried to get along, but you kiss me once and around I go. On a merry-go-round, a merry-go-round, a merry-go-round around with you.
What is the greatest moment that you have had in your career, the real highlight, the thing that thrills you more than anything else?
Well, it was today I sank a lemon orange. No, I've been very lucky. I've had a lot of moments that I've enjoyed, but I guess some of mine were more biggest moments of pleasure. I guess have been on the golf course or in the theater. Meeting different people and having the chance to do things.
Is Crosby your favorite golf partner?
Well, he's one of them. Very fine.
Bob Hope and Bing Crosby have slightly different versions of how they met. Here's Hope's.
I met Bing back here about 1932, and we appeared at the Capitol Theater with Abe Lyons Orchestra and that called Cass Mackinac. We played 2 weeks and did a lot of bits together. I was a master of ceremonies and Joan Bing was doing his act, his singing act, I don't know what we called it in those days, too. And we did a lot of bits together and had a lot of fun. So when I moved into the Vermont Studios, that's how we happened to start the road series. You know, we started working together on radio and done countless shows together. And we used to frame writers to find out what he was going to ad-lib or what I was going to ad-lib, and then they'd give somebody else the answer. And we'd throw in the ad-lib just ahead of the time he was going to do it, or I was going to do it, whatever the case may be. And these things used to break each other up this way, both in pictures and on radio. Now, one time in South Bend, Indiana, I think it was 1944 and 1945, it was a Navy, South Bend had that naval program there at that time. And I was appearing there, and Bing and I played in Indianapolis the day before. And I thought Bing had gone back to Hollywood, but he didn't, and he walked out just before the end of my show with a birthday cake. Big birthday cake, and I had Herbert Marshall as my guest star. And we were on live in those days. And he said, "Happy birthday, Flab. Happy birthday." And gave me the cake, and I tried to hit him with the cake. And then we threw it in the audience, and the audience threw it back. But all you could hear were these screams, and this cake was being tossed one into the auditorium to the other, you know. We wound up with sort of a meringue audience, meringue actors. It was beautiful.
Bing's version of the first meeting was included in a recent birthday greeting to Bob.
Now, I first met old Robert in New York City. We were both playing on the bill at the Capitol Theater. I was doing a single, singing single, and Bob was working with Barclay's Bears. I think he held a flaming hoop while the Bears jumped through or something like that. No, seriously, he was doing a single, too. He was doing a monologue with some very dated gags, but he went over pretty good just on his brash delivery and on sheer bravery, I think. But anyhow, Bob, it's a great charge for me to be here on this little tribute to you on your 79th birthday. It's really remarkable things you do with such an advanced age and do them so willingly without anybody having to meet you or cut you or drive you to them. I admire you. You're really a great, great workman. And seriously, I do want to commend you for the great things that you've done in your life, the great image that you've given our industry all over the world. I think that the industry's lucky to have such a fellow as you connected with it, and I'm sure everybody is grateful to you for all the things that you've done.
During the radio days,
Bing and Bob often appeared on each other's shows, and the subject of their comedy was based on their favorite pastime, golf.
Well, you carry a grudge. You really heat up and smooth when you drop a few Morgenthau mash notes at golf, don't you, huh? Any other day?
Yes, just that beginner's luck.
Beginner's luck? I just began once too often, brother. You simply tried to trap a superior apple tapper.
I'm playing with today, too.
You had the wind at your back. We were both playing the same direction. The wind was at your back, too.
Oh, yeah, but look at the sail you've got. You're just self-conscious.
Mariners are. There ought to be a lot of greenbacks in that package, boy.
Yes. You take one of them. Me take call for a ride.
Thanks, Chief. Happy landing.
Come on, lift that funnel open. It must be loaded with dough.
Oh, boy, there's got to be plenty of loot in here.
Hey, we've been scalped. This isn't dough. It's three Indian blankets.
Ah, what will happen to our young hopefuls with no money and three Indian blankets? Will they get a job standing in front of a cigar store? No. Will the fickle finger of fate keep them from reaching Hollywood, their dream city? What will they do?
Well, go ahead and tell them. We're practically running into Henry Morgan's program now.
Yeah, the finish of this sketch has got to be a shave-a-thon if we don't hurry.
Hurry up now. Well, anyhow, folks, our two heroes and our heroine traded in their Indian blankets for one bus ticket to Hollywood. But what good is one bus ticket for three people? Let us tune in and find out.
Yes, lady, this is a bus to Hollywood.
Thank you, driver. Come along, boys. Take my hand.
Now, wait a minute. Are your two uncles going along, too?
Oh, these are my two young sons, Bingy and Bobby. They're big for their age.
How old are you, Bingy?
8 years old, going on 7.
And how old are you, Bobby?
Da da, goo goo, chi chi bar.
Little Bobby, he doesn't talk very well, does he?
He's chewing tobacco.
Well, all right, lady, you can take him on the bus, but they'll have to sit on your lap.
Stop, Junior!
All right, hold tight, everybody. We're off to Hollywood.
Radio show with Bing Crosby and Dorothy Lamour, all three of them got together finally at the end to reminisce about how they used to travel the road together.
We had a lot of fun working together.
Remember the road to Zanzibar?
Remember the road to Singapore?
Remember the road to Morocco?
Remember the road to Morocco? There's so much that's happened. Has written lots of books, all of them succeed.
And now that he has learned to write, he's gonna learn to read.
Incredible! Remember the road to Morocco.
I don't care to go back again.
The villain followed Dorothy till he became a pest.
So now she's doing pictures where she's practically dressed.
Remember our big kissing scene.
I'm glad there was a crowd that day on stage 15.
Remember the road to Morocco. It's water.
Baby boy was born to dust. They're trying to figure whether it's a capital gain or not.
Remember the road to Morocco.
We sure got in many a jam.
But I told some of those funny jokes the natives seem to like.
That's why the chickens union and their hands out on a strike.
You made it ham a la bone.
Yeah. I guess we should forget about the rock and roll.
I think it's a great deal on your part, and certainly the public loves you. Have you? Are there any more challenges for you, particularly in performing?
Well, that's a great question. I don't know. I think that there's a lot of challenges as far as I'm personally concerned, because I'd like to direct, I'd like to produce pictures, things like that. That's what I want to do now.
Get behind the scenes a little bit. Do you think you could really stay away from
it? No, I don't think so, but I think I can do both. I'd like to do, I think I can do my television appearances and still produce and direct and things on the side.
I hope you have a chance to.
Well, I want to.
And I hope you make that Broadway show one of these days.
I do too, because that's my first love. I just love the theater.
What kind of a show would you like to do?
Oh, I don't know. Just a book show on Broadway. It doesn't make any difference as long as I'm on the theater, because that's where I started, and I'd like to go back.
Red Hot and Blue was one of your great hits. We had Durante on this same show. We did a salute to him a little while ago, and he was telling us about his kicks in that. During World War II, as everyone knows, Bob Hope was the number one entertainer visiting military bases the world over to entertain our personnel. But when the war ended, Bob didn't stop traveling. Every Christmas, he flies with a troop to some outpost to bring a touch of home to men in uniform. Bob tells how the Christmas tours began.
Actually, we started working for the military in 1941, and we did our radio show for 5 solid years in military bases. Then the war was over, and we kind of quit and went back to NBC. And in 1948, Senator Symington asked us to go on the air, and he was then Secretary of Air Force, and asked us if we'd want to do a show in Berlin, or we spot in Berlin, the Alpha Airlift. And which we did with Irving Berlin and Tex Jinx and General Doolittle and Vice President Barclay Dunlop. And we flew over there and we did that show. And the next year, he called me, he was the Secretary of the Air Force. He said, "I'm going to Alaska for Christmas. Would you go up there?" And I said, "I don't know. I should stay home with the kids were going very young at that time." And he said, "Well, I'll call you in a couple of days." He was on his way. Now, this was, I guess, a couple of days before Christmas. He said, "I'm in Omaha, and I'm on my way to Seattle." He said, "Why don't you join me in Seattle and go up to Alaska?" And I said, "But what about the kids?" I said, "I hate to leave." He said, "Bring them along." And they were on the extension. I heard this scream. And so we went up to Alaska. We took the family up there with us. They arrived there about, I guess, 5 o'clock at night. It was dark. And we were throwing snowballs. It was seven, which was so different from Hollywood, North Hollywood, because it was so hot down there. And the next year, then the Defense Department picked it up, and they said, "How about calling Korea and Japan in 50? And we went out there. Then the next year, we went somewhere else, Alaska, Greenland, or somewhere. And we've been going ever since then. So really, Stu Symington started us on this Christmas kick. And there's never been bigger thrills for anybody than we've had on these shows. Everybody that's gone along on these Christmas tours, And it's a great privilege to do it. More people that have made this trip keep coming back and saying, "How about it? Let's go."
Servicemen and civilians alike will never forget the Bob Hope broadcasts during the war, like this one from England in July 1943.
Well, it's certainly great being here in good old jolly England.
Yes, sir, here we are.
You know, England, that's the place that Churchill visits when he leaves America. You gotta come back here once in a while so I won't lose his accent.
North Africa, August 1943.
Yeah, but it's wonderful being back in Africa. Good old Africa. Of course, you can get out of Texas, but and the heat here, boy, this is the first time I ever laid a fried egg. I really don't think you're here. I was on the road to Morocco once.
Oh, I'm doing it the hard way.
Pacific, New California, August 1944.
Well, here we are on this beautiful, romantic South Pacific island. Boy, aren't these islands pretty? We've had a very fast flying trip up to now. Flew all the way down here from San Francisco. Hubble coming down, going back up to reach the second phase. When we got about half split down, the pilot turned around to me and said, are you a little nervous? I said, yeah, this is only my third time up. He should beat me, this is my first. I said, it's a little rough out there. Don't you think they'll have parachutes? He said, don't be silly. The ones with parachutes jumped an hour ago. And talk about weather over that Pacific. It was so rough, the automatic pilot bailed out. I've never seen it.
And in Berlin, during the airlift, Christmas 1948.
Thank you very much, fellas. How do you do? I want to say I had a nice trip in from America. You know America, that's where if you got a couple of cigarettes, you're smoking. I snapped the cigarette butt away today, and it was traded twice before it hit the ground. Get back on and turn the plane around. As we arrived over Berlin, several Soviet planes started to buzz us. But the first Russian pilot took one look at me and said, they're okay, look at the hammer, that's the signal. And people over here really know me. Whenever I walk down the streets of Berlin, everybody follows me yelling and cheering. And these fellows know what Schweinhund means.
Bob Hope has received many awards and honors throughout his life, most of them for his overseas junkets to our military bases and for his humanitarian efforts. One of his most cherished was presented in 1962 by the senior class of the University of Notre Dame, the Patriots Award. In this next excerpt, Hope's magnificent blend of wit and wisdom is perhaps the best testament to the place he holds in the hearts of Americans.
I'm always very happy to come back to Notre Dame. I've been there before, and I know your founder, Pat O'Brien. But giving me an award, ladies and gentlemen, for entertaining servicemen is like giving Jackie Gleason an award for reading, because I've enjoyed every laugh, every boo. Seriously, though, they seem to like me, too. There was sort of a fellow kinship between us. I knew what they were doing through courage. They felt that way about my activity. And why am I still playing camp? Let me try to give you the picture. A few years ago, we flew to Korea. Christmas morning, we flew north from Seoul to 38th parallel. Then we played a place called Bayonet Bowl. There were 5,000 shivering GIs crouched in the snow. Some of them had been there since 6 in the morning because they wanted a good seat for the show. Believe me, I'd be there yet if I hadn't been on a video charge. I had breakfast that morning with Carter Spellman, and we had quite a time. In fact, we played at some of the same spots. That is, I played first, and he came along behind me and gave absolution to the truth. When you meet these kind of guys all over the world, you shrink to your true size. I start thinking of fellows who really, really deserve the Patriotism Award. And I've seen a lot of them. I've seen them in spots in the Pacific that are only fly specks on the map. The map is blue, but on those dots of sand and coral, rows of little crosses are white. Each one marks a patriot who left our country for our country's good. Like a young PFC I met at a forward hospital on Umea. The medics had just brought him in, and he was getting a transfusion. And I passed his bed, and I looked down, and I said, they're giving you the raspberry, huh, son? And he said, yeah, feels good. And he gave me a big smile. And after the show, I said to the doctor, I said, how did that kid? He said, he just died. You know, we talk about the dark side of the moon. When I think back on the 1940s in Guadalcanal, Iwo Jima, Okinawa, Utah Beach, Omaha Beach, whether by day or by night, they were on the dark side of the earth. And fighting it up here and there with a smile, a laugh, a song. Well, let's say that I'm grateful that I could be one of the many entertainers who were privileged to be of service. I accept this award in memory of that young guy who got the blood transfusion on the mayor and all his buddies who were the chips off the same American block. They had a nickname for young men like him, G.I. Joe. As far as I'm concerned, you can call him G.I. George Washington. I'm glad that you invited me here to accept this award and you feel that I've given to my talents and I deserve it. I feel that I'm not a giver, I'm a beneficiary. I've told a few jokes, bounced around a few places, met a lot of great people, and that's it. I cast a few crumbs in the water and ended up with a whole bakery. You know, if Aladdin were suddenly to appear with his lamp, about the only thing I could ask for is a new golf swing. Thank you very much.
Bob Hope, entertainer, American citizen, patriot. Long may his wit and wisdom be a part of the American scene. And perhaps it's fitting that we close today with another excerpt from The Seven Little Foys, in which Hope as Eddie Foy meets James Cagney as George M. Cohan to sing a Cohan song which might well have been dedicated to Hope, Yankee Doodle Dandy.
I'm a Yankee Doodle Dandy.
A Doodle Dandy.
Yankee Doodle Doodle Time.
A real live nephew of your Uncle Sam. Born on the 4th of July.
With a flag in your hand, no doubt.
I've got a Yankee Doodle sweetheart. She's my Yankee Doodle joy.
Good liberty.
Yankee Doodle came to London just to ride a pony.
You are a
Yankee Doodle boy.
Can't you see?
I hear you talking, Dad.
You are a Yankee Doodle boy.
Well, I want to wish you the very best of luck, Bob, and thank you so much for talking with us on this salute to you.
That's not our plan, I don't think.
I don't think so. We usually catch you on the run.
Yeah.
Well, Bob, again, my thanks to you for joining me at the microphone, and the very best of luck to you in the future. Come back to Portland many times.
I hope so. Thank you.
So ends our salute to Bob Hope, one of America's most fabulous entertainers and one of her finest citizens.
Sunday Spectacular was written, produced, and transcribed by your host, John Salisbury, and is a Radio Heritage Vintage production. I'm Howard Huntley, inviting you to join us when once again we present...